Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex blogger, sex journalist, and I play dirty songs on the ukulele sometimes. Who are you?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator and a sex blogger. I flirt a whole lot, and I'm on the internet a whole lot. So, stands to reason, I have spent a lot of time flirting on the internet.
Your bio was on theme for this episode,
and mine was
for some reason not. I just wanted to talk about my ukulele for some reason.
Almost like I planned that one ahead, vaguely. Spoilers, I didn't. I never do. But that one almost sounded like it.
Okay, well, let me just say I'm so glad that I get to be face-to-face book with you today, Bex. I'm all a Twitter because we're going to have a chat, a Snapchat, if you will, about social media flirting. Did you like all those puns? I think it was pun too many.
Oh, God, you kept going.
Puns on puns on puns.
So many puns.
It's just an unfolding slinky of puns.
My favorite ride in Disney World is the Jungle Cruise, which I need to take you on one day. But one of my favorite parts is when they string together so many puns like that. It's so good.
But, like, my issue with this ride has always been, why isn't it called the Pungle Cruise? Like, it's just a missed opportunity.
Because it wasn't supposed to be puns. It was supposed to be serious, and everyone hated it, including the people who worked there. So they started making jokes to keep themselves entertained.
Oh, so the humor wasn't purposeful. They just cruised right into it.
Yeah. There's one. So it changes every time you go on it. But there's one part where there's a crashed, like, half of a downed plane, and you go past it in your boat. And one of the skippers I was there with went and said, you know, a lot of people, as we're passing this plane crash, because, you know, a lot of people ask me how I landed my job at the Jungle Cruise, but I think it's plain to see that I took a crash course, and I've been winging it ever since.
It's a 10 out of 10.
It's one of my favorite jokes on that ride.
He really got that one right. The Wright brothers? I don't know. He took all my plane puns. Anyway, now that we've thoroughly flown off track, let's talk about social media flirting. I have been excited to do this episode for a while because I truly feel like you were one of the best flirters I've ever known. Like, for literally the whole length of our friendship, anytime I encounter any kind of flirting difficulty or snafu or challenge, I send you a screenshot, and basically you have helped me pilot my way through. Oh my god, I just said pilot. I can't stop with the plane. you have navigated me through many a social media flirting situation.
And I love when you do that, to be honest, because, like, I look at it like a video game. I was like, here's this human that I am in no way invested in. Let's see what happens if I try.
Some experiments.
It runs like one of those Sherlock Mind Palace scenes. Where I just, like, roll everything out, and I'm like, there are so many different options and directions we could go with this.
Yeah, and every time I take your advice, it usually goes pretty smoothly. The most recent time I took your advice, it did not go well, but it was because the dude was not Polly, so.
Yeah. Well, that's not my fault.
No, I know. I feel like the approach was
sound. I was still hella charming.
Yes. And that, for the record, was a situation where I matched with someone on Tinder who I knew in real life, which, like, I didn't know what to do because I found him cute, but I didn't know if he thought I was cute, and we had hung out a bunch, and we would hang out a bunch more in the future, so I was like, how do I just sort of gently communicate that I would be into him if he was into me, but also if he's not into me, totally cool, whatever, I don't care.
That's such a complicated question, because I hate when I see people I know on Tinder. Because I'm like, do you swipe right to be like, haha, hey dude, how's it going? I see you, I know you, I recognize that. Or do you swipe left to pretend it never happened? Like, Or if they swipe right and you match, does that automatically mean you want to fuck each other? Or
I think like, it should. In my, like, perfect world Tinder utopia, you would only ever swipe right to indicate that you find the person attractive, whether or not you know them in person. Because, like, I find it terrifying to think of myself as being someone's courtesy swipe, because I'm going to approach every Tinder interaction assuming that we're into each other. That's kind of how the whole app works. And if you just swiped right on me because you thought you were obligated to, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, that should be in the terms of service. I mean, no one fucking reads the terms of service, but still, like...
It should be legally binding.
It should be one of the options, like, in part of the tutorial. And if you see someone that you know, only swipe this way if you actually want to bone them. So that, like, we're all on the same page. Because I never know.
That would really help.
I once sent a friend a screenshot of me swiping on them and was like, bitch, you better super like me. You better. At the time, I had conflicting feelings if I wanted to fuck her because things were complicated, but she's real pretty and I don't talk to her as much anymore, and I should have fucked her. That's the thing that should have happened. Cause God, she's gorgeous.
Anyway, social media flirting.
Social media, yes. We're not talking about Tinder today, even though we have a lot of thoughts.
This is actually marginally related to our discussion of Tinder, though, because, like, the first thing we wanted to talk about is, like, should you social media flirt? Like, that's the most basic first question you have to think about is it actually appropriate to in the situation that you're in?
Yeah, I have... Dr. Nerdlove, a relationship blogger that I really like, he writes, he used to be a pickup artist and writes for nerds and about why pickup culture, why, like, pickup artist culture is problematic, and also targets towards nerds of, like, how to actually date in respectful and effective ways, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. But he has one article that is entitled, like, How to Pick Up Girls on Facebook or something, and the entire article is just the word don't. And I was like, I don't know. And I think also how you go about flirting with people on social media is very different depending on the platform.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think that it's probably always inappropriate to try to pick someone up on Facebook if you don't know them in person.
Yes.
Like, I get messages in my, like, other, like, filtered messages all the time that's just, like, random people who happened upon my profile picture in a search or something, or who know me through my blog and thought it would be appropriate to add me on my personal Facebook. And they're messaging me like, hey, you're really cute, we should hang out sometime. And it's like, that's not, like, I just don't consider Facebook appropriate for that. But I certainly think if you have recently connected with someone in person and then you add each other on Facebook, that can be a really great space for, like, public, playful, flirty interactions that, like, build your rapport over time.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Like, if I were to equate Facebook to, like, I don't know, Facebook feels more like a private dinner party, and you're just, like, rolling in and sitting next to a stranger like, hey, friend, hi. Like, Facebook is where I live with, like, people that I actually know.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love Facebook for if you meet someone casually, like, at a party or friend of a friend, whatever, you meet at, like, an event, and you cross paths really briefly, I think Facebook is a great option to, like, you can find them later and add them, and it's not weird, because you had a short conversation, but maybe that conversation wasn't enough to, like, get you to a point where you can be like, hey, what's your number? You know? So yeah. Facebook is a really great way to kind of stay in their sphere of vision, like, so they remember that you exist, and you can, like, like their status, and they're like, oh yeah, there's that human that I met. They were cute. And, like, you know, comment and things like that. So that's what I like Facebook for.
Yeah. I also definitely like it better than when you meet someone and they try to exchange numbers with you. Because, like, that to me is, like, I don't know if I want to text you. I just met you for 10 minutes and, like, maybe we had an instant intense connection, but we probably didn't. Whereas if we connect on Facebook, then over the course of days or weeks or months, I get to see a little slice of what you're like and what you're about. And if I still find you interesting, then it's easy for me to reach out and like set up an actual date. Like I've had dudes like stop me in the street and make me take down their number and stuff like that. And I'm always like, why are you so confident doing this? Because like, why would I text you? I don't know anything about you, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like Facebook's better for that.
Yeah, definitely. And then Twitter, which is the only, you use Instagram a lot more than me, but Twitter is really one of the only other social medias that I use. Twitter feels a little more like going to like a very public event, where I'm kind of, especially because I am a public persona on Facebook, like I am sex educator and blogger Bex, instead of just like Bex the human who works at these other jobs and everything. Like, this is one, you know, I'm there professionally as well as personally. So Twitter, it feels much more appropriate for strangers to approach me.
Yeah.
And definitions of approach, I think we'll get into a little later of how to best do that.
Yeah.
But Twitter, I feel more comfortable making new connections. Because it, it feels like being out and about in a public space with people I know and people I don't and mingling, like, you know, a party or whatever.
Yeah. I love Twitter, and I think absolutely Twitter is my favorite platform for flirtation on the internet. And actually, like, probably about half of the sexual partners I had last year were people I had originally met on Twitter. And it almost feels weird to, like, admit that publicly because I always feel like when I say that, that people are going to think, like, oh, if you tweet with her, you have a shot of, like, getting to bang her eventually, which is
I mean,
really
you
not
do. How many followers do you have?
Shot.
Like, 4,000 followers, so you have, like, a 6 in 4,000 shot of maybe having your dick somewhere near her.
Yeah. But I just think, like, it's a platform where you get to see people being really witty and also just living their lives and tweeting about their lives. So you get to see, like, a little bit of what they're like, or at least what they project to be like, and often a little bit of their humor. And you interact with them in this way that feels really low pressure. And I really like that. And also, can we talk about faving tweets?
Yes!
This is something I think about so much.
Yes. Oh my god, I have so many thoughts on this.
So, faving is one of my favorite ways that people can get flirty with me, and also that I can flirt with other people, because I feel like it's so low pressure. Like, to the point that it literally takes almost no effort, and yet it can be really meaningful and purposeful. Like, my favorite example of this is, like, a year and a half ago, I was going through a really long sexual dry spell, and I tweeted something like, oh, my kingdom for a cute, nerdy fuck buddy. And I was actually thinking of two people in particular on my Twitter list who would easily fill that role for me, and who I had big Twitter crushes on, and both of them favorited the tweet, and then I later had sex with both of them. And it was just, like, them favoriting that tweet to me was, like, such a very subtle and, again, like, low-pressure way of indicating, like, hey, yeah, I might be down for that. And, like, it was just this very subtle sign of interest, which was a green light for me to, like, ramp up my interactions with them a little bit. And that was really primo.
Yeah, I like faving in a couple different ways. I like using it to, A, just be like, hello, I exist. Because it, like, makes my face pop up in their timeline so they can be like, oh, yeah, that human. And, yeah, it's a good way to, like, communicate, like, hey, I saw this thing you said. I feel a way about this thing you said. We should discuss this thing you said.
I also think, though, it's important to say that faving should not be your whole flirtation strategy.
Yeah.
And an example I have of this from my own life, I don't know if you'll remember this, babe, but...
Oh, I'm sure I do. Okay, I remember it already.
I was like, flirting kind of, or wanted to be flirting with this, like, dommy guy I knew on Twitter and in real life and had a crush on. And he was favoriting all these tweets, like, very strategic tweets of mine, which put together...
Because strategic faving is a thing.
It's totally, and it's very important. And I was, like, messaging you, Bex, about, like, all the different tweets that he was faving, and we were, like, analyzing what this meant. And you said something like, arranged all the clues and it'll form a map to his dick.
Oh my God. You said we were discussing this, and I was like, shit, I said a really funny joke at the time. I remember that. I'm hilarious. What is the joke? I should say it again. Thank you for remembering it.
Yes, of course. I tweeted it, so I'll remember it forever. So I tweeted the quote of you saying that, and then the dude favorited that tweet. And then at that point, I was like, okay, he's really just faving. Like, he seems really shy. I don't think he's going to take it any farther. But then I just wanted to, like, bait him one more time and see what would happen. So I tweeted something like, you know what I really like is when dudes respectfully flirt with me on social media and then confidently transition their flirting to real life. And then it said, hashtag just saying. And then the best thing was that he faved that tweet, and then there was, like, no further contact for, like, a long time. He was not good at the confidently transitioning it. He faved the tweet
and then promptly jumped off a cliff. Just, like, calmly got up, walked away. Just walked out a window, never to be seen again.
I really didn't know what to make of that fave, though, because it was, like, this, like, little acknowledgement, like, I saw this, and, like, maybe I realized that this is about me, but, like, he just wasn't going to do anything about it, so. Okay. I think sometimes, like, if you fave someone's tweet or if they fave one of yours and you see it happen because you're online at the time, that can be a really great moment to DM them and be like, hey, I saw that you just faved this thing, or, like, hey, what did you think about that, or whatever. It's your in.
Yeah. I like using that to be like, I see you subtly liking all my tweets about blowjobs. Like, I see you. I see that. That said, there is a wrong way to like things, too.
Oh, so, absolutely.
So, like, don't go back in time and like all of my selfies from
four months ago. Please never do that. I hate that so much. Like, the only time when that's okay is if I already, like, 100% have a crush on you, and then you're scrolling back through my selfies, then I'm gonna get excited, because then I'm like, you wouldn't do that if you didn't think I was attractive, so. But, like, right. If you're just some random person, please don't do that.
And, like, let's be honest, we all go back and creep in the timelines of the people we want to bone. It's just a thing we do.
Absolutely.
I've probably seen pictures of you from high school on your Facebook, and I've probably gone back to the first tweet you ever tweeted. It's perfectly normal. Don't tell me you're there, though.
Yeah. Tiptoe in like you're a cat burglar. Do not double tap anything you see.
Exactly, because then it's just slightly unsettling. And if I am into you, I'm like, oh god, what stupid thing did I say back in 2013? I don't fucking know. Oh god. I was an asshole back then. Don't judge me.
Yep. I also hate when people retweet my selfies. Like, people who don't talk to me. I'm like, I don't know who your followers are. I don't know if I want them seeing pictures of me out of context. Like, ew. Why don't you exchange a few words with me before you do that, buddy? Like, ugh.
So let's say you have a crush on someone on Twitter who you've never talked to. How do you start, like, exchanging words with them? Because I know you've done this a lot more than I have. Most of my internet flirting is with people I already know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think for me, like, as a person who has a web presence and is used to people flirting with me via tweet, sometimes, like, all those people in my mentions really blur together. So I try to think about, like, if I'm going to tweet at someone, I want to be adding value to their life or their day or to that tweet. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to, like, make the same joke back at them. I'm not going to just tweet, like, ha, 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 that's so funny or whatever. Mm-hmm. If I can, I'm going to, like, improve upon their joke or, like, make a similar joke back at them. So, like, punning is great for this. I quite often pun at people who have already made a pun or who have set me up for a really good one. Because for me, punning is one of my flirt languages, I guess. It's a way for me to be, like...
the lost chapter of the love languages. It's the sixth one.
Because I think what's great about punning on someone's tweet is that it shows, like, reading comprehension, it shows that you were looking at their tweet, and then it also just, like, adds value to their day in the form of hopefully making them laugh. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, an actual valuable contribution to the conversation, as opposed to a lot of tweets that I get, which just are not adding anything to the discourse of what's going on. Like, if you want me to notice you, be smart, be funny, be respectful, you know.
Yeah. And unless you're really good, don't respond to literally every tweet I tweet.
Yeah, please.
Because you probably so don't weird. Have a realistic response to everything I tweet. You probably don't have anything to say that will add to the conversation for everything. Like, maybe for some things.
Yeah.
Not all the things.
I hate it so much when I tweet something that's like an opinion or whatever, and then somebody tweets at me to basically like restate my opinion in different words, and I'm always like, I know, that's the point I was making. Did you read my tweet? Like, I hate that. Like, yeah. You're not adding anything important. I feel like the purpose of you tweeting at me is just to get me to look at you. You're just there like, hey, pay attention to me. I'm just gonna say a bunch of inane shit about what you tweeted. Like, that doesn't make me wanna engage with you.
Yeah. I also feel like, so I think it's really helpful. I think a lot of people show up online and treat it like it's completely and totally different from in-person interactions. Like, it's mm-hmm. this entire alien form of communication that they have never encountered before. when if you kind of try and think of it in parallels to, like, your life and mm-hmm. what you would do in public, it's a little easier to see what would be appropriate. So mm-hmm. if I don't know you and have never spoken to you before, maybe don't roll into my DMs or drag me into a dark corner on the street to have a private conversation. Like, yeah, we don't need to be alone together. I don't know who you are.
Yeah, I was thinking about this today because I think if someone DMs you out of the blue and you have no idea who they are, it does feel like some stranger just walked right up to you at a party and, like, grabbed your shoulder and was like, I need to talk to you in private. Like, that's very creepy and I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So maybe, like, just interact with me publicly around a whole bunch of people and then I'm going to become more aware of you and start to feel more comfortable with the idea of talking to you one-on-one, and maybe one day it'll happen.
Exactly. And then when you do move to talk to me one-on-one, do it in a way that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe we were having a conversation a few days ago and you happened to find something relevant to that conversation, but, like, all of Twitter doesn't need you to bring up that conversation again. Mm-hmm. Like, be like, oh, remember how you were talking about loving the color green? Well, I just found this green hard eyes emoji, and I know you love hard eyes emojis, and it made me think of you. Here's a link. Like, something like that is great, because it makes sense that we're doing it alone, because you don't need to clog up your feed with something that's literally only going to be relevant to two of us.
Mm-hmm.
You paid attention to me, you're talking to me with purpose, and I will gladly take that and turn it into a conversation if I want to have a conversation with you.
Yeah.
And if I don't, I'll go, cool, thanks. And then you can drop it and not text me 6,000 times or DM me 6,000 times.
Right. Like, as with anything, you gotta read the room and read the vibe. And if I'm replying, like, monosyllabically and not very quickly or very often, I probably don't really want to talk with you. So just read the person's receptivity to that.
Yeah, and I think saying, like, you know, read the room or pay attention to social cues is a thing that, like, you hear a lot, and some people are like, but, like, what does that mean? But, yeah, like, monosyllabic answers, if I'm not asking you questions, if you notice we're talking in circles about the same things and the conversation is not developing,
mm-hmm.
those are all bad signs. However, if you want a conversation to continue, it can be really good to just, like, drop little conversation starters in there. Mm-hmm. You know, someone sends you a picture of this t-shirt that they think you're gonna love, and you go, oh man, that'll be awesome to wear to this event I'm going to on Saturday. Thanks for the heads up. Hopefully it'll get here in time. Mm-hmm. And then the person you're talking to can be like, what event? You know? But So have things that's enough information that they know what kind of questions to ask you.
Yeah, totally.
And it's silly that I have to roll this out, but a lot of people do not know how to have conversations, which is like step one of flirting, have an engaging conversation.
I think the book that I always recommend for people who are looking to improve their social skills is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. It's a real classic, but it's just like real good, like basic social skills, making people feel good about themselves, conversational stuff. I would also say take an improv class is a really awesome way to get better at conversations, both digital and in person.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever met anyone in person who you, like, only formerly knew on social media and just, like, decided, you're a cool person, I want to meet you?
You?
I meant, like, in a romantic or sexy way, but, like, yeah, that's true.
I'm pretty sure the only people I fucked that I only knew on social media were other bloggers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anyone else that I was just like, yeah, you seem good. but I know you've done that a lot, right? Or
yeah,
more than me.
Well, my fave fuck buddy, who I talk about a lot, who I should say, he gave me permission to use his porn name to refer to him on the show, so I might intermittently call him Red October, because that's his porn name, because he's a dork. But, yeah, so we've been banging on and off for, like, a year and a half, and we originally did meet on Twitter, and, like, all that happened was, for about a month, we would, like, occasionally tweet at each other, like I was saying, just, like, jokes and little contributions to each other's tweets, and at some point, I had tweeted something about, I was going through a dry spell, and I think I tweeted about, like, feeling lonely, and feeling socially isolated a bit at that time, and he tweeted something supportive at me about that, and then later that day, he DM'd me about it. And said, like, sounds like we both have pretty empty dance cards recently. And from that unrolled a conversation in which we decided to meet up for drinks. And we did that a couple times. And then we started banging. And now we bang, like, semi-frequently. So he was just, like, respectful and, like, casual and chill about it. And he never made me feel creeped out. So, and like, there was a basis. There was a rapport there where, like, we had been talking publicly on Twitter for, like, a month before this happened, so he had reason to believe that I would respond well.
Yeah, and, like, I think the line between, like, creepy and direct is hard in flirting.
Yeah.
Even in person, and it's even harder, I think, online and on social media.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like we were talking about earlier, I think it's a matter of kind of making sure, looking for tangible things to show that the other person's interested. Like, I know we both have anxiety, so for us it's like, everyone hates us all the time! Yeah. So we've kind of gotten really good at being like, where is our tangible proof that this person hates us? At what point did they explain that they hate us?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh no, they said a weird thing and they put a period at the end of a text they sent me. So that's a bad sign. Because it means they're being abrupt. And sometimes we'll say this to each other, which is great because it means the other person's always there to be like, you asshole. Everyone loves you and you're adorable. But
this is actually, this is cognitive behavioral strategies that we're talking about. Like, the whole idea of CBT in challenging your negative thoughts about yourself or about your life is to go, like, where is the evidence for these negative thoughts that you're thinking? And then maybe instead look for evidence of the positive stuff. So, like, often when I send you a screenshot and I'm, like, panicking because someone isn't answering me, you'll remind me, like, oh, he always takes a really long time to answer. Or, like, he just told you that he was about to leave for work. Of course he's going to take a little longer to answer. So you'll just, like, remind me that I'm being a little bit crazy.
Yeah, see, and you have the words to describe the stuff I'm talking about, which I would also have if I could stick with a therapist and stop bailing, because they're all idiots.
I'll just be your illegal therapist, it's fine.
Excellent, it's fine. I don't know, the fact that I think I'm smarter than all my therapists probably says more about me than it does about them, but it's fine.
You probably need a therapist for that, bro.
Whatever, I'll just be crazy and alone. Whee! But yeah, so I think for people who aren't crazy in the way we are, who find themselves forging forward and find themselves with that getting labeled as creepy, or just feel like they're not getting the kind of feedback they want, it can be helpful to kind of pump the brakes and do kind of the opposite. Okay, what tangible proof do I have that this person is interested? Where have they shown and engaged with me? Are their responses equal or long, averaging to be equal length or longer than my messages? Like, super easy to look at. Am I sending paragraphs and they sending single lines? Maybe that's a bad sign. Maybe it means they're not interested. Maybe it means they're at work and you should leave them the fuck alone. Whatever. But yeah, so just, and social media flirting is perfect for that because you literally have the receipts. You have the transcript to go back and look through it and have concrete evidence in a way that you don't when you're talking to someone in person.
Yeah, that is really one of the key reasons I think that I enjoy social media flirting so much as an anxious person is that, like, first of all, I can, like, rehearse and edit and re-edit my own replies before I send them and, you know, consult a friend like you to make sure that my tone is right and everything. But also I can go back and look at what they've said because, like, just based on the whims of my brain chemistry, I might have a day where I'm just, like, convinced that everybody hates me and that I'm a weirdo and then nobody finds me attractive. I can just scroll back through my conversations and then I'll see, like, oh, he actually told me that he thinks I'm attractive. Maybe he thinks I'm attractive.
Huh. I saw a tweet the other day that just said, you know, do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband? And then the next person, me to group text. Oh shit, what do I say? And yep. I was like, yep, accurate.
I also really like this idea that I've read from relationship educators like Reed Mihalko and Sinclair Sexsmith, which is that if you want to flirt with someone, sometimes you can just straight up ask them, like, is this a good time to flirt with you, or some variation thereof, because, like, obviously that's kind of a bold move and you want to have some basis of a rapport before you do that, but words like flirt and, like, date and romantically charged words like that for me are really helpful, even though they're scary to say, because they make things really clear. Like, I remember I was dating this guy, and it was, like, super early days of dating where, like, I wasn't even sure if we were, like, dating or hanging out or whatever. And I went to see a movie with my mom, and when I came out, I had a text from the dude, and I texted him back, and it had been a couple hours. And then he was like, oh, good, you're out of the movie. I'm so happy. Now I can flirt with you again. Oh. And I was like, oh, that's so cute, because it was just, like, a subtle way of, like, stating his intention very clearly. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah, for me, I find it easiest to take, like, really confident and forward things like that and couch them in humor. Because for me, it's like, I said this thing because it's hilarious. Also true, but, like, mostly hilarious.
Do you have some examples of, like, that? Because you're so good at that.
Oh, I'm trying to think. Like, sometimes I'll do it in a self-deprecating way, or, like, I can just think of, I don't know, if I wanted to talk to someone, I would probably say something like, hey, I'm just gonna slide on into your DMs and flirt real awkwardly with you right now. Pay no attention, you know, like, or, like, even, so, that Tinder dude you were talking about earlier, you didn't know what to say, and I said, like, to kind of break the ice by being like, hey, come here often, and, like, actually write in parentheses, cheesy, exaggerated wink, and then to actually, because you weren't sure, we didn't know why he swiped the way he swiped, so I was like, you should message him and be like, hey, so, like, theoretical question here, how do you feel if you see someone that you know and think is real cute on Tinder? Should you swipe right to tell them you think they're real cute, or would you swipe right no matter what, just because you know them, like, that whole quandary? And then I said in a separate message, just be like, P.S. totally not talking about you. And then another one, P.P.S. totally talking about you.
I love that. I just think that that's brilliant, because it just shows, like, you have such a great sense of humor, and it's like you're laying all your cards on the table, but in this way that's so low pressure and doesn't feel too intense for that kind of interaction. I just thought that was a stroke of genius, truly.
Yeah, and, like, so you've got, even if they're not into you, as long as they're a decent human being, you got them to laugh, because, like, who doesn't laugh at me? and then, like, once you have someone laughing, they're going to be more inclined to be friendly towards you no matter what. Like, it just makes them feel good about your presence. And with, especially with that one I did for that, it gives him the opportunity to say, no, I'm not into you, without being like, I do not like you as a human. You are, like, you could just be like, well, yeah, I would swipe right for anyone I know, because, you know, because I just wanted a chance to point out that I know them. But, and then you can even completely ignore the thing that I said you were cute, or you can be like, it's real sweet you think I'm cute, though, you know? And it's not, you're not completely shutting someone down. So it's kind of setting them up for an easy out, too, which, as a person with anxiety, sometimes the scariest thing about dating for me is having to be like, oh, God, but what if I don't like them? Like,
yeah.
How do I extract myself from that weird, awkward situation?
So here's a question that I think is going to be controversial between the two of us. Do you ever flirt with people on social media who you have no intention of taking this relationship any farther than just flirting on social media?
Oh, absolutely. recently, maybe a couple months back, you jokingly called me a flirt fetishist, and I kind of took it and ran, because I can 100% just get off on, like, flirting with someone and, like, love the, I just love the mental gymnastics of it, and it's like building a story together and being, and there are people that I'm 100% attracted to just because they're really good flirts, and I'm like, oh my God, that's genius! And, like, there are times, like, I see them in person where I'm like, wow, I'm really not super into you, but God, you're hilarious, and I didn't even see that one coming. You set me up for that innuendo, and I just walked right into it. Like, it's like an art form.
Yeah, I feel pretty differently about this, because, like, I don't know if it's because of, like, the volume of weirdos in my DMs, but, like, if someone's flirting with me and I see that they live far away and, like, there's no ostensible chance of them, like, coming to where I am anytime soon, I'm always just like, what is your end game here? Like, what are you trying to do? What do you think is going to happen here? And to me, like, it's just not as satisfying. I feel like this is a lot like the discussion we had about sexting, where, like, you said you found sexting fulfilling in and of itself, whereas I feel like if it's not a prelude to sex that's eventually going to happen, or kind of aftercare for sex that's recently happened, I don't really want to engage in it. Like, I just don't really get into it. I don't find it that interesting. And for me, it's the same with flirting, where it's like, I guess I feel like if it's not ramping up to anything in particular, I just am not as intrigued by it. I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense. I just really enjoy flirting for the sake of flirting. That's why I absolutely love when you send me stuff and you're like, help, what do I say? And I'm like, aha, I don't know, let's find out. I want you in my bedroom. Make
Fuck That and Fuck Yeah is our weekly segment where we tell you something we hate and something we love. And today we're talking about social media flirting. Woo. What is your Fuck That, Bex?
My Fuck That is dudes on Twitter who think everything is sexy. Okay. I know I'm a sex blogger. And so, A, sometimes I talk about things that don't involve sex, like, at all. And there will still be dudes sending me, like, winky emojis and shit. And I'm like, I was talking about an omelet that I made. What? I said it had sausage in it and you gotta make a sausage pun? Like, fuck off. Mm-hmm. And then other times I will tweet about sex in a way that is, like, objective and fascinating or just funny.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be like, oh, you said the word blowjob on the internet. You must want my dick in your mouth, right?
Definitely. Absolutely. Right? That's how it works.
And then on the rare occasion that I do post something sexy, please don't make that the first chance you ever talk to me.
Yeah, no.
Like, don't do that. I'm very rarely, like, there are some people that fall on the sexy end of the spectrum much more often. I very rarely, like, actually explicitly sexy on Twitter. Usually I'm profoundly unattractive. But dudes still find a way to be like, wink, wink, huh? Mm-hmm. And it's like, what? Stop.
My favorite example of this when it happened to me, which it happens all the fucking time because dudes are the worst.
Uh-huh.
But one day I was having a really bad depression day and I tweeted something like, first of all, I said I was having a bad depression day. And then in a reply to that tweet, I said, can the Uber Eats driver bring a sense of self-worth with him or does that cost extra? Or like some joke like that. And then some guy replied to that tweet and was like, and let's hope he has a big schlong. Like, as if a big dick is the only and the best thing to cure my depression because I'm a sex writer. And I was like, in the headspace that I was in at that time, I was not up for talking about dicks, especially not in a lighthearted and joyful way. So I was like, that's inappropriate. No, thank you. Do that.
Is the Uber Eats driver with the big schlong the evolution of the pizza boy with extra sausage? Is that like millennial porn now?
Or as our friend Brent said to me recently, extra sausage with a little mushroom on top. I literally think that might be the funniest pizza-related joke I've ever heard in my life. I've probably heard a lot of them, so good on you, Brent.
So what's your Fuck That?
So I tweet a lot of funny things, or things that I think are funny.
Oh, bitch, you're hilarious.
Thank you. But the thing that happens to me all the time, and I know that it's so many folks have this happen to them, especially, like, assigned female folks for whatever reason, sexism, sometimes I'll make a joke and then it'll just, like, go right over someone's head that I made the joke, and then they'll try to make the same joke at me as if they're noticing it for the first time. Like, for example, like, if I make, like, a spanking pun where I'm like, you know, my spanking kink really impacts my life, then these people, like, the subtlety of that joke will just go right over their heads, and then they're like, oh, you said the word impact and tweet about spanking. And I'm like, I know.
Yeah.
I'm fucking hilarious. There's this Twitter account called Yes, That's the Joke. And sometimes I just tag that in my responses to these people because it's hilarious.
That's so good. Mm-hmm. I once had that happen in real life. And it was the most, like, ridiculous instance of mansplaining I've ever seen. Because I had... So it's a nerd joke. But... So I had someone come up to me and be like, so when's Kingdom Hearts 3 coming out? And I laughed and was like, yeah, you know, probably the same day as Half-Life 3. And this gaming bro comes over to me and is like, I swear to motherfucking God, he started with, well, actually. You you know, there's no evidence yet of any release date of Half-Life 3 or anything, but, like, there is some solid, concrete release information about Kingdom Hearts 3, and him and the dude that was asking me questions just, like, started talking to each other, and I, like, just walked away. I didn't even, I just, like, looked at them, sighed, and turned around. I was like, sure, I'll let the men handle it. It's excellent.
Okay, cheer me up. I'm tired of talking about shitty dudes. What's your fuck yeah?
My fuck yeah is, I don't even really know what to call it. It's a combination between, like, baiting and positive subtweeting. And it's a thing, again, as an anxious human I do sometimes, when I'm not super invested, because, like, the majority of the time I'll just get over it and text a person. But if I'm feeling particularly anxious, or I'm not really sure how interested this person is, sometimes I will put a thing into the world in hopes that they'll see it and just see what happens. So that's fun. Like, the best instance of this is when I first met my sir, I would, like, really want to talk to him, but be like, God, like, I've been texting him a lot lately. I should kind of leave it be, like, whatever. And, you know, I'll talk to him in, like, 2 days. Like, that's a reasonable amount of time or whatever. But I started noticing that nearly any time I put something on Facebook, he would respond to it. So on really bad anxiety days, I would, like, put a thing on. I would be like, I want to talk to this human. So I would make something interesting happen so that I could Facebook about it, so that he would see this Facebook thing and text me. Which is up there on some of the most ridiculous things I've done in my life. But shit, anxiety is a weird thing. And it worked nearly every time without fail. Which probably explains why a year and a half later he's my sir. But I've definitely done that to just be like, let me put this into the world and see what happens. And a lot of times it's worked out pretty well for me. I think we've also, like, put things on Twitter that, like, when we write about things we're into and then people we're fucking or want to be fucking see it. And then do that thing later.
Uh-huh.
That's same idea.
It's very sneaky and very clever.
And it's great. I love it. So what's your fuck yeah?
My fuck yeah is good compliments on social media. There's obviously, like, a line to be walked there, because you don't want to just pile on weirdly sexual compliments to someone you don't know very well. That's not great. Don't ever do that. But I was looking back through my screenshots folder today to remind myself of some of my social media flirting highlights, and I had gotten this tweet from a dude on one of my selfies where it said something like, sighs longly and loudly, you are so utterly smokingly hot, it makes me want to emigrate. And that is just such a lovely compliment. It made me want to retweet it to my followers. I also, like, one time, a guy who I later flirted a bunch with sent me a reply to one of my selfies that just said, Holy Christmas, I think, which is, like, a really great exclamation. And I think, like, complimenting someone publicly on social media can be sort of a lower pressure, slightly more chill way of complimenting them than to direct message them and compliment them. So I think, because you could just be complimenting, like, anyone in your Twitter feed, so yeah, it feels more casual.
And, like, when you post selfies, not to say that, like, oh, you're fishing for compliments, but, like, that is a context in which it is appropriate to compliment someone.
Yes.
So.
I also like when I'm like initially flirting with someone and they fave some of my selfies, but like not all of them, because I like seeing which ones they fave. And then maybe I like, because I'm super subby, sometimes I'll start to like attire myself like I looked in those selfies around them. This is like a weird creepy tangent that I'm going on right now, but
that's okay. We're all betraying our creepiest things right now.
Like, if a dude seems to really like me in pigtails and he faves all my pigtails tweets, that would be really creepy if it was someone I didn't know. But if it's someone I do know and have a bit of a crush on, like, I'm probably going to take the hint from that and be like, oh, he likes pigtails. Interesting.
Note to self.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Dildorks. I hope it was as fun for social media as it was for social udia.
No.
Well, I tried.
That was like backwards. I hope it was as much fun for me as it was for you.
That joke got no likes, no retweets, no shares.
I hope I retroactively had fun. I haven't decided yet.
You know what? It's late. My puns are suffering.
No, it's not. It's 8 p.m.
Don't tell them that. They don't need to know that.
I mean, it's 2 in the morning. We regularly record in the middle of the night. For ideal gigalosity.
My name is Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net, and you can tweet at me or Instagram with me at girly_juice. You could also like social media flirt with me, but please only do it if you're good at it. Where's your stuff at?
I am Bex. I blog at BexTalkSex.com, and you can social media flirt with me at BexTalkSex on Twitter or at BexTalkSex on Instagram if you never want to hear from me. Together we are the Dildorks. We're at TheDildorks.com, at TheDildorks on Twitter and Instagram. If you're going to flirt with us there, please specify.
Is this for the princess or for the bean?
We just really need clarification.
Yeah. It is very confusing when we get sexts that are for both of us. Although, a lot of them would be pretty similar.
I was gonna say, there. That could work, honestly.
Thank you so much to Protodome for letting us use his song I Want You in My Bedroom as our theme song. He's at protodome.bandcamp.com. And also thank you to Amy Gardner for doing our album art. She is at starboots_ on Twitter. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life.
Bye.
Bye. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite examples of this is like ages ago, like over a year ago or a long time ago. Why did I start that sentence like I was telling a story from 500 years ago?
Let me back try that in the again. Day, I walked uphill both ways to the Twitter machine.
Let me start that again. It made no sense.
We had to crank her up before she would start.
There's so much phlegm in my mouth. Oh my god.
Oh my god, there are two puppies playing in the snow! Look at them! One has a jacket! Can you see them? Oh, they're gone now. Oh, they come!
Oh, I see them now. They're so tiny.
They're not, they're pit bulls. But they're just running around and jumping in the snow. They're so cute.
Are we done?
I think we're done. I really need to pee. I was okay. Like, I'm gonna wait. I'm not gonna do it before fuck that, fuck yeah. And then we got done with fuck that and I was like, I'm dying.
Okay, go.
I will be right back.